Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise today. We thank you, Lord God, for your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you, Lord God, that you would use me as a vessel in your sight. I pray that I would decrease. Wear me like a glove today, Lord. Speak through me as I declare the uncompromising word of truth. And it's in Jesus' name we all sit together. Amen, amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Yes. Now, I need you to look at your neighbor, one of them, either side. Say, hey, neighbor, if you don't want to be touched this morning, neighbor, if you don't want to be elbowed this morning, neighbor, I'm subject to lose my mind. You might want to move now. Okay. So neighbor, you've been forewarned, because the person on your left and person on your right may slap you on the knee, may hit you on the shoulder, may even push you in the back. Praise the Lord. Well, last week was a very exciting time for us. Last week was our second. Everybody say second. Last week was our second big give, and we had an amazing time in the Lord last week. And for those of you that are visiting, any visitors that we have in the house, raise your hand, wave at me if you're visiting for the first or second time. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. On behalf of our pastor, we welcome you, and First Lady, we welcome you. And so last week, we had our second big give, and typically, for those of you that are watching through the lens and this is your first time, what happens is that our pastor usually calls a big give once a year. And it usually happens in March. But at the beginning of this year, God laid it on his heart to have two big give Sundays. And so as a result, when we gave in March, pastor didn't really understand what the second big give was for. And so as time progressed, he understood the assignment of the second big give. And so if you're here and you want to participate in the corporate sowing of your seed, you can do so today. And I'll get to that at the end of the service today. But at the end of the day, if you want to sow a sacrificial seed for intended needs, so we have, or we're going to be launching our True Kids Academy in 2026. Can we give God a praise for that? And so last week's message was generosity by faith. And when he talked about generosity by faith, he asked the question, what does it take to give by faith? Interesting question that he, what does it take to give by faith? Because you would think that. Okay. Okay, here we go. What does it take to give by faith? And so he pointed out three things. He said that faith is received when we hear the word of God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. His second point was faith is expressed when we obey the word of God. So now in Malachi, it says, bring the whole tithe.
Right. Yeah, right.
Then it goes on, how have you robbed me? You've robbed me with the tithe and the offering. And so when we obey God, our faith is being expressed because we're returning the tithe and we're giving an offering. And typically, that's where most believers draw the line. So their faith is received when they hear the principle. And then their faith is expressed when they follow the protocol.
Yes, sir.
How many of you know that the Bible is full of principles, protocols, and promises? Yes, what is the Bible full of? It's full of principles. And you're going to get it in a minute. It's full of what? Protocols. Oftentimes, we stop at the expression, the reception and the expression of faith. But then here's that third point, which is going to dovetail right into today's message. He said that faith is manifested when we expect God to do what he promised he would do after we give. Listen, how many of you understand that expectation is key? As a matter of fact, I think in our confession, we expect exceptional and extraordinary increase for me, my family, and my church. Some of y'all know that. So the question becomes, does expectation require faith? So I'm going to give you a take-home statement, and I haven't even given you the title of the message yet. The take-home statement is, faith is the fuel of expectation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So as you're taking these notes, faith is the fuel of expectation. And now I looked up what expectation, I looked up the definition, and the definition of expectation is the active anticipation of a future outcome. Expectation is the active, everybody say active, anticipation of a future outcome. Now, in Hebrews 4 and 12, listen to what it says in Hebrews 4 and 12. It says, the word of God is alive and active.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you really think about that, if expectation is the active anticipation, that means something has to be going on a continual basis. The word of God is alive and it is active, which means that the word of God should be manifesting in you on a continual basis.
Yes, sir.
And so the title of today's message is Maintaining a Harvest Mindset. Maintaining a harvest mindset. And the goal of today's message is to help believers understand the practical, everybody say practical, an applicable process of maintaining a harvest mindset. Go ahead and put Genesis, that scripture, Genesis 8:22. The Bible says, as long as the earth remains,
yes, sir,
seed, time,
and harvest.
And harvest.
Yes,
sir. Is the earth still remaining?
Yes, sir.
As long as the earth remains, there's going to be seed, time, and harvest. See, the farmer gets excited in the sowing season.
Yes, sir.
Why does he get excited in the sowing season? Because he understands that there's going to be a harvest season.
Yes, sir.
As believers, we get excited for the sowing season. But then we get in the time part.
Come on.
Uh-huh. The time part. So we sow, and we understand the promise is the harvest. But we sow our seed, then there's some time.
Come on.
There's the seed, and there's some time.
Yes.
Okay, okay. Put Galatians 6:9 up on the screen for the people. This is the King James Version. It says, let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season, come on, say, in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Operative word I want us to focus on is that weary word. Uh-huh. Weariness is the result of the process taking too long.
Wow.
Weariness impacts our effort. Put the next, put that next verse up. It's Galatians 6:9 out of the Living Bible. And it says, and let us not get tired of doing what is right, for after a while, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't get discouraged and give up.
Yes,
operative word I want to look at now is the word tired.
Yep.
So weary impacts our effort. When we get tired, it impacts our energy.
Yes, sir.
When your energy and your effort start to wane, then your expectation starts to wane.
All right. Come on.
We have seed. What are you doing in the in-between?
Yeah.
See, the thing is that many of us are thinking that it's always about money. Pastor Marty, as a youth pastor, you understand that the Bible says one man waters, one man plants, but God gets the increase. See, as a youth pastor, he won't see the fruit of his labor in some of his kids until 10, 20 years from now. Okay. Anybody remember Abraham? Uh-huh. Abraham was given a promise that he was going to have a son. It took 25 years for that harvest. See, it's not always just about money. Some of you are sowing your time. Some of you are sowing your talent. Some of us are sowing our resources. But at the end of the day, it's seed. What are we doing in the in-between? See, when your seed leaves your hand, that's when your faith has to kick in. Say amen to that. See, when you release what's in your hand, you activate what's in God's hands. It's when you don't see, you don't touch, and you don't understand, that's when your faith is tested. But I came to tell you this morning, faith doesn't stop when you sow. That's when it starts. That's the moment when you say, God, I trust you when I can't see you. My seed is in the ground and my harvest is on the way. Tell your neighbor, the seed may be silent, but it's not still. God is doing something under the surface. You got to maintain a faith mindset, which brings me to my first point. Faith begins where sight ends.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
sir.
Faith begins where sight ends. 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. I got some church folk in here this morning.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. The moment you sow, you are no longer in control. And that's the problem with a lot of people. They want to be in control of how the harvest gets to them. Okay. So the first thing that we have to do is maintain a harvest mindset is you got to keep your heart right. You got to keep your, the Bible says in Proverbs 4:3, keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. The Bible also says there shouldn't be blessings and curses coming out of the same mouth. See, here's what happens. Many of us we're so excited. And then that time part hits. Well, I guess it ain't for me.
Right.
Well, over here you said you were excited. But then you get in the time part and you say, well, I guess it ain't for me. Luke 6:45 says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You got to make sure you guard your heart. Because at the end of the day, your heart will determine if the weeds will choke out your faith. See, the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 10:5. For we demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make obedient to Christ. See, here's a take-home statement. If you don't control your thoughts will control you. I'm going to say that one more time. If you don't control your thoughts will control you. Have you ever... Okay, let me say it like this. There was an algorithm before there was an algorithm. Okay. How many of you know that right now, if you click on something and then you click off that something, then later on in that day, you start to, and then something pops back up on your feed. Anybody seen that?
Yeah.
Like, how did that? Well, stop clicking on it. But there was an algorithm before there's an algorithm. Watch this. How many of you have ever purchased a car before? Raise your hand. Okay, that's half the church. All right, here we go. All right. Isn't it funny that before all this social media and the World Wide Web, that you would start looking at a car, and then you would start looking at the make and the model, and then all of a sudden, as you're driving down the street, you start to see that car. It's like, wait a minute. I never saw this car before I started looking into the car. I said that there was an algorithm before there was a what? Because you have already created thoughts in your mind that are now manifesting to what you see. Okay, okay. This is why you need to water your seed with the word. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. Your confession after you sow is just as critical as the seed itself. You got to speak life over your seed. You got to speak life over your seed. See, when a farmer drops the seed in the soil, he doesn't go back and dig it up. How many of us have dug up our seed? How many of us have aborted the harvest because we wanted to be in control and we dug up our seed? Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. Because, you know, I love illustrations. And so I'm going to come down here. And so we got over here, we got seed. Uh-huh. We got seed. Uh-huh. And so I said we get excited when we sow seed. Because in the excitement of sowing the seed, we understand that there's going to be a what? A what? Come on, say it like you mean a what? Uh-huh. So we sow our seed. Now I can no longer see my seed. Even when I don't see it, it's working. It never stops. It never stops working. But here's the problem with many believers today. Many of us don't water our seed with the word of God. Why is that, Pastor Sharp? It's because we don't have no word in us. Uh-huh. See, the thing is that you should have enough word in you as your age. Wait a minute, some of y'all missed it. You should have enough word in you as your age. So if you're 50 years old, guess how many scriptures you should know? Why some of y'all putting your head down? And Jesus wept does count as one of those 50. But in order to water your seed with the word, you got to get some word in you. Uh-huh. And so I'm old school. Somebody give me a Bible. Somebody give. Thank you. Thank you, Patrice. So what happens is that in the ETV class, we say you need to memorize God's word. Uh-huh. And so here's how some of us memorize God's word. It's time out for looking at it and closing your eyes. See, I'm old school. I'm old school. See, some of us, we need to get the note cards back out. Where are all my note card people? Only half the church. See, that's what I'm talking about right there. Right there. You need to get a note card. And what do you do with the note card? You need to start writing some scriptures on the note card. Okay? Okay. And so here's how it works. You gotta read it, you gotta say it, then you gotta speak it. Oh, that's the same thing. You gotta read it, you gotta write it, you gotta speak it, and then you gotta post it. You gotta what? Read it, you gotta write it, you gotta speak it, and then you gotta
post it.
You gotta
read it, write it, speak it, post it.
Okay, stop. Many of us post on social media. When was the last time you posted some scripture on your social media feed? We post vacations, we post us on the flights. But when was the last time you posted the word of God because you're believing for a harvest?
Come on. Let's go. Yeah.
gotta read it, you gotta
write it,
you gotta
speak it,
and you gotta Luke 6:38. See, some of y'all say, I can't believe he reading off a note card. Listen, you gotta what?
Read it.
You gotta
write it.
You gotta
speak it.
And then you gotta
post it.
Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I'm washing my seed with the word. Proverbs 22:9. The generous will themselves be blessed. Psalms 37:21. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Deuteronomy 28:12. He, God, will open to you his wonderful treasury of wealth. He will bless everything you do. You shall lend and not borrow. You got to wash your seed with the word. You got to read it. Some of y'all need to post. What if we were to take a tour of your house right now? How many of you got? No, don't raise your hand, because I don't want every, it's not going to be even half the church. How many of you have some word posted on your bathroom mirror, in your closet, in your car, in your cubicle? Because you got to. You got to. You got to. And you got to. You got to water your seed. And then the next thing you do. No, now, here's where I need your help, because you're my inner voice. All minds clear? Okay, so when I get to the top of the stairs, I'm going to say, harvest time, and you're going to scream out, not yet. All right? So let's try. Let's try. Let's try. Harvest time. That was almost good. One more time. Harvest time.
Not yet.
Notice that my voice, my inner voice said, not yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. What if I got up to the next level and I said harvest time and my inner voice said, no harvest.
Come on.
I just canceled the harvest. Because death and life is in the power of the. And we got to take every thought. Okay, one more time. Inner voice. Harvest time. The Bible says, don't grow weary in your well-doing, for in due season. Right now, it's not due season. That must mean I got some work to do. So now, I'm in the period of what's called the waiting period. How many of you struggle with patience? Raise your hand high. Raise your hand high. Put your hand down. Go on and confess to your neighbor and say, I struggle with patience. I struggle with patience. Look at your other neighbor and say, I really do struggle with patience. So what do you do in the waiting season? How many of you know that one of the fruit of the Spirit is patience? Love, joy, peace. See, God is aligning the condition for your harvest. For your harvest is tied to your patience. The Bible says, they that wait on the Lord shall. See, if you don't know that, then your faith starts to wane. Why? Because your energy and your effort is waning. Your waiting season is the working season. Your waiting season is the working season. So here's a take-home statement. Waiting time isn't wasted time. It's working time. See, what happens is that when the seed sprouts, you get the plant. Is the plant harvest? No, it's not. You get the plant. Sometimes you have to prune the plant. How do you prune the plant? You prune the plant with your praise. Put that Thessalonian scripture up there for me. Put that Thessalonian scripture. It says always. It's Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16. It says always. Everybody say always.
Always,
always be joyful. Always be joyful. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'm watering and working my seed with the word. Because it's the word. Pastor says it like this. The word works if you work the word. And so if you're not working the word, what's happening at your harvest? Always be joyful. Always keep on praying. Here's the thing. Many of us, when we get in the time part, the in-between part, we stop praising and we stop praying. And the thing is that, Lord, I know that harvest is on the way. Thank you, Lord, that harvest is on the way. This is my season of surprise. If you're not praying and praising through your harvest, you're doing yourself a disservice because you won't get to the harvest. Here we go. Here we go. Harvest time. Harvest time. See, that must mean I still have some work to do. Do not get tired of doing the right thing. What is the right thing? I gotta keep my heart right. I gotta water my seed with the word. I gotta praise. I gotta pray. For this is the will of God for my life. A lot of people ask all the time, what is the will of God for my life? Praise and pray. Praise and pray, for this is the will of God for your life. So now, here's what happens. Here's what happened. We know that faith begins when our sight ends. And at the end of the day, the Bible says, always be joyful, always keep praying. But here's number three. The harvest responds to a consistent heart. The harvest responds to a consistent heart. See, when you're getting closer to your harvest and you feel your strength being drained. See, here's what I've understood about today's church. How many old saints we got in here? Anybody remember this word, tarry? Tarry. You gotta tarry till he come. The problem with this modern day church is we don't know how to. The Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy. So as we're on this timepiece, we have to maintain a harvest mindset. See, this is where you start to get weary. This is where you start to get tired. And the enemy said, I told you, you shouldn't have gave you that money. See how the enemy turns your seed, that word seed, into money?
Right.
And so we start listening to the wrong voices. And then here's a familiar verse of scripture, John 2 and 5. John, out of the Living Bible. Anybody remember when Jesus went to the wedding? What did he do at the wedding? He turned. I can just imagine those old boys that were there. Because the water that was used is the water that they were putting their hands in. It was dirty water. It was nasty water. You wouldn't drink it. How many people would see, if you go to a restaurant and you got a clean glass and they come and pour some brown water, ain't tea. It's not tea. It's brown water. How many of y'all would tap the server and say, y'all need, you need to change the water out? Jesus' mother told those old boys, whatever he say, you got to do it. Whatever he say, you got to do it. I'm going to say it again. Whatever he say, you got to do it. The Bible says, don't get tired of doing the right thing. What is the right thing? Keeping my heart right. Washing my seed with the word. I'm praying and I'm praising. And then I get to this part right here. The harvest responds to a consistent heart. The seed grows where faith stays consistent. And now, I need my wife up here. Come on up here, babe. Come on up here. Come on up here. And so for those of you that are in the back, go ahead and put up Luke 5:4-7. Luke 5:4-7. I need the whole thing. Luke 5:4-7. Luke 5:4-7. And I can get it. So, babe, come right here. Just come right here. So now turn that way. Turn that way. Thank you. And so now what ends up happening is that, see, sometimes God knows when you need it in the time that you need it. It says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Verse 5. Simon Peter said, Master, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. We sowed our seed. We've been watering our seed with the word. We've been praying. We've been praising. And we still haven't seen harvest. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets again. Then he goes on and says, and this time their nets were so full, they begin to tear. But there's a part of the verse that says, and they beckon, verse 7, there was a shout, for they help brought their partners into the other boat. I don't like that version. It says, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in another ship. See, sometimes God will connect you to somebody else. And so if you're married today, the hope is that somebody else is your spouse. If you're single, the hope is that God is going to send somebody that knows how to water the seed, they know how to pray, they know how to praise. And then, because see, you don't want to tell any old body. Because if you just tell any old body, they may disrupt what's going on. And so here's what happens. It says, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in another ship. God understands partnership. So I'm praying and praising. She's praying and praising. And the more we pray, and the more we praise, and the more we pray, and the more we praise, and the more we pray, and the more we praise. Because the Bible says one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight. And the more we pray, the more we praise. The more we pray, the more we praise. Harvest time. In order to keep a harvest mindset, you got to understand that you got to sow your seed. Because it's always seed. And it's seed and harvest. You got to sow your seed. Then you got to water your seed. How do I water my seed? I got to speak the word. How do you speak the word? You got to read the word. You got to. You got to. You got to. Come on. You got to. Everybody clear on that? Okay, so now, here's what the Lord showed me. Once you get to harvest time, you all tired. But you know what? You're excited that you got harvest. But here's what I want to encourage. All the harvest, it ain't all for you. God told Abraham, I will bless you to be a blessing. And so at the end of the day, many people start eating the harvest. And they don't understand that the Bible says God gives seed to the sower. And then he said, and then it goes on to multiply the seed. And so now, as I get ready to close, as you praise, the songwriter says, praise is what I do when I want to get close to you. I lift my hands in praise. Praise is who I am. I will praise you while I can. I'll praise you at all times. I vow to praise you through the good. Another songwriter said this, it won't always be like this. Sooner or later, it's going to turn in my favor. It's turning around for me. I want to encourage you this morning to continue to have a harvest mindset. Because at the end of the day, it's going to always be seed, time, and harvest. You got to read the word. You got to write the word. You got to speak the word. Post. I want to challenge you today. Whatever you're going through, what, as the old saints would say, what's the never you're going through? Let God be in control. You got to let go, and you got to let God. So now, as we get ready to close, let me say this. There are some of you that came this morning, you already made up in your mind, I'm joining church today. I don't care what the message is, I'm joining church today. See, don't allow the seed of his word to not produce harvest in your life. There are some of you who have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There are some of you that are straddling the fence. You're neither hot nor you're cold. You need to get your life right again. See, because God doesn't put you at the end of the line. He just puts you back in line. There's some of you that need to join this church this morning. And then the last one, there are some people that need to be baptized. And with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, I want to encourage you to evaluate your heart right now. See where you fit in one of those four. Giving my life to Christ, turning my life back to the Lord, needing a church home, needing to be baptized. If you fit in one of those four categories, nobody's looking but me. Go ahead and slip that hand in the air. Amen. Hands are going up. Come on, saints of God, pray. Pray. Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. And for those of you that have your hands up, I want you to look up at me right now. And I want you to know that God is so proud of you. And sis, in the back, I see that hand. Sir, I see that hand. Sir, right here, I see that hand. In the very back, I see that hand. So this is what's going to happen. We're going to all say a prayer together. So I need everybody to repeat after me. Say, dear Lord. Come on, say it like you mean. Say, dear Lord, I want to thank you for today, for giving my life a new start. Thank you, Lord, for another chance. I thank you that I receive you in my heart, in my mind, with all my soul, With all my spirit, I thank you, Lord, for saving me today. And it's in Jesus' name. We all said together, amen and amen. Can we